Good morning.
Good morning.
We continue in the book of Exodus to look at the story of Moses and his calling from God. This is probably the most memorable or famous part of Moses' calling. It's Moses in the burning bush. And so from chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, hear the word of the Lord. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites and Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Thanks be to God for this good news from his holy word. Amen.
Amen.
Would you take a moment now and imagine that the way that God wanted to speak to Moses through a burning bush, that God might want to speak to you this morning? God might actually have something to tell you. And that, with that in mind, would you take a minute, a silent prayer, and pray for me, and pray for yourself, and pray for all those who are hearing God's word today? Amen. So remember, we're doing this series called by God because I think all of us to some degree need to wake up to the good news that God is calling us. God is calling us for a purpose. God is calling us to be a part of God's ministry. We hear one of the most succinct and beautiful images of God's mission in the world here in this story today. God is basically saying, I have heard my people crying out for salvation. I want to save them from that which diminishes life. And I want to bring them to abundant life. And I want to do this because I love them. And I'm sending you to help. I mean, that's pretty much the message of God's mission in the world. And I want you to know that you are invited to have a unique and beautiful part of that eternal transformational mission that God is on. I mean, this was a long time ago, many years, and God is on the same mission today. And so that's one thing I really hope that you'll remember. I want you to remember that in Jesus Christ, we believe that God has just welcomed everyone into this kind of story. So there may have been a time, and there may be many that would look at Moses and go, well, that's a pretty extenuating circumstance, right? Moses is a once in a generation, once in a thousand years kind of prophet, and he truly was one of the greatest prophets ever. A lot of people would say, God would never call me. God would never speak to me. God would never choose me.
And yet in Christ, we believe that we are chosen by God, that God does call us, and that the gates have been opened, and that God's purpose and mission, that we're invited to be a part of it. So it's not ludicrous to look at the story of Moses and to think that it's applicable to you and to me. That this, in a way, is our story. It can seem a little crazy to say, really, you're going to preach about Moses and how everybody in this room has something to do with that? Well, we do. And so I want you to remember that in Christ, this is your story. And so I just want to look closely at how Moses is called. And I'm praying that you would be encouraged, and that the truth of who God is and the truth of how God calls us would capture you today. So first of all, I just want to look at this first verse. I love the first verse of chapter 3. It might seem like a verse that doesn't matter, but it says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God." So there's a lot of context right here. And the first thing that we hear is that Moses is a shepherd, okay, for his father-in-law. He is working for his father-in-law. That's his livelihood. That's his life. And while shepherds in Scripture have a very central role, you might remember that a few years later, there's a king that starts out as a little boy who's a shepherd in his family, David, that Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. Shepherds are a big deal. But honestly, there are better jobs than being a shepherd in the ancient world. Can you imagine? Than hanging out with sheep all the time in the wilderness? And there are probably better jobs that Moses could have had. I mean, do you remember how Moses got started? Who adopted him? The princess? The daughter of Pharaoh? He grew up in Pharaoh's household? I mean, he probably had a pretty bright future. They probably had some job for him. And then I think about even Jethro. Probably had sons. He was a priest, which was a really big deal. And there were probably some other family jobs. But what was Moses in the family as the son-in-law? You know how things can be with in-laws. He was the shepherd. And again, it's an important job. I'm not trying to belittle it. This is Jethro's property. In that day was this probably a very large collection of animals. But Moses is out there just taking care of them. That's his livelihood. And so I just want to point out that for us in our American culture, we might look at Moses and say, you know what? Moses isn't really at the top of the food chain. Would you agree? He didn't have the top job. He wasn't a CEO. He didn't dictate his own livelihood. He was working for somebody else. His every day was to take care of somebody else's animals. They weren't even his animals. And so you could say, in our culture where we are always trying to go up that next rung of the ladder and promote ourselves. And I was just this week, I went to first grade curriculum, little meeting with the teachers. And I thought, no one said anything, but I looked around and you see all these parents of first graders, and you can tell we're all hoping that our kid's going to be the CEO. You know, everybody's like, yeah, how do I get my kid at the top? Because there's a valuing that we have where we want our children and we want ourselves to be in that important position, and that position where we're not working for anyone else but ourselves. We value that. Can we just admit Moses wasn't in that position? He was in a humbled position, which the truth is most of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we're working for somebody else. We have a boss probably, someone who tells us what to do. And here's Moses, and he had to think to himself sometimes that this wasn't the best job in the world. This is what I want you to hear. God called Moses. He didn't call some top dog. God did not call someone who was completely in charge of their own world. God didn't call Pharaoh. God didn't call Jethro, the father-in-law. God called the guy who probably could have done better with his life in our terms. And so if you've ever sat there and thought, you know what, I'm not really in the best place career-wise or with just my life in general, things could be better for me. Hey, God is looking for people like you. I don't mean to disparage those of you who are the top dogs in here. You may be at the top of your game. You may be at the top of the food chain. But honestly, the way we look at Scripture over and over again, God really likes to recruit those who aren't at the top. Amen?
Amen.
Not only that, something else that's interesting about this story is we got to remember that Moses got himself in this position, didn't he? I want to remind you, things could be, again, on a worldly level, much better for Moses than they are here. He is a stranger and a foreigner working for his father-in-law as a shepherd because why? Anybody remember what he did in Egypt? Yeah, he murdered someone and he is a fugitive. He is running for his life from Pharaoh, never to go back home. Never. Right now, it's interesting, he's not even with his own people, the Hebrew people. And so, in a way, he got himself into this mess. And I have to think that there might have been times, I don't know, this may not be true, but if it was me, there would have been times I would have been out there in the middle of nowhere with a bunch of sheep saying to myself, Ray, you really blew it. You know what I mean? There had to be times, I don't know, the food was probably a little better in Egypt. The city was probably pretty amazing. There were canals. I mean, this was probably the greatest city, maybe in the world at that time. He grew up there, and he had none of that stuff. None of that beautiful stuff. He blew it. He's a murderer, a fugitive running for his life. Have you ever thought to yourself that if you had done things a little differently, things might be a little better for you? Maybe not. Maybe you're one of the, I've got no regrets. Good for you. But sometimes we have regrets. Sometimes we go, you know what, if I would have done this differently, maybe things would be different. Maybe I wouldn't be out here in the middle of the wilderness on the backside of this mountain by myself with a bunch of animals. Maybe you've had those thoughts, and this is what you need to know this morning. God is looking for people who blew it.
Amen.
God is looking for people who messed up. God is looking for people who maybe didn't do it right the first time, or the second time, or the third time. Praise be to God that God is interested in people like Moses and like you and me, who maybe blew it, who maybe squandered opportunities. Anybody ever squandered an opportunity or made a mistake or aren't in the best situation they could be in? Maybe, I know with at least with me and a lot of my friends my age, particularly men my age, we always talk about our potential. Have I reached my potential? God is looking for people who haven't reached their potential. I'm also interested, still here in the first verse, that his father-in-law is a priest and that his father-in-law doesn't get called by God in this way, this burning bush. I'm aware of the fact that possibly we could look at it in this way, that Moses wasn't the most religious person in his family. I mean, his father's a priest. I still think maybe there's some sons in the family that are not in-laws that probably have some of the priestly duties and relationships. And Moses isn't one of those guys. He's the one who looks at the religious people and says, I'm not quite like them. And so I'm wondering, I know you're in church on a Sunday, so in our culture, you're one of the more religious folks. I'm sorry, that's not an insult. I'm just saying you're at a church, so there's something a little religious about you. But you may think to yourself from time to time that you aren't particularly religious. You might look at people like me and go, I'm not like that. I don't make my job about the church. I don't do all the stuff that religious people do. I hope you get the theme that I'm on. God might be looking for people who aren't the most religious. Amen? God might be interested in calling people who aren't the priest, who aren't the religious professionals. Maybe God is really interested in people who aren't so religious as they are open to what God might possibly do in their lives. And just in case you're thinking,
Well, Moses maybe was just in the right place at the right time. Maybe he just was at that particular mountain. You know, maybe that burning bush had been sitting there for like months and just waiting for someone to go by, and whoever got there first was going to end up being Moses, right? God does not say from the bush, "Hey, you, over there, what's your name?" Right? What does God say? The first words of God from this bush, and I love the way it's even said. Look at this. It's like God was waiting, almost anticipating. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses! Moses!" It's almost like the recognition. "There you are! I've been looking for you." You think God knows who Moses is? I mean, this is really Moses, the guy who was rescued from a basket on a river. "Moses, you're the one who grew up in Egypt. Moses, you're the one who killed that man. Moses, the one running for your life. Moses, the one who blew it. Moses, the one who is not the most religious in your family. I want you." Friends, please, please, please hear this. God wants people like us, like you. Amen. God calls people like you, whatever your butt is, that says, "Not me. What about this? I mean, come on." God wants to call you by name. It's very personal. This is not some general. Just a little side note. I think sometimes we do think that our calling is this general thing. Like, "Oh, I'm just doing this because anybody can do it." No, God wants you. You, as you. And it's not in spite of you, it's because of you. It's because of who you are. God calls you because of your history and your identity and your mess ups and your limitations and your gifts and your dreams. God calls you because of that. Isn't that beautiful? God doesn't say, "Oh, well, whatever. I'm just going to forget everything about who you are and call you anyway." No, God calls Moses. God calls you. God calls me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God calls us. Amen. I love what Moses does. There's a couple things that I just got to preach about Moses. The first one is, this is a little before God says, "Moses, Moses." Moses sees the strange sight of the burning bush. And I don't know the whole history. There may have been in the ancient times during Moses' day, burning bushes may have been how God showed up to people. Excuse me. Mess with this. But God may have done that on the regular. I don't know. But it's strange to Moses, right? Moses sees a burning bush that's not being consumed by the flames, and it's strange to him. This is so important, and it can be easily overlooked, but what Moses does is he goes to check out what is strange. I think what many of us do when something is strange is we don't go toward it, we go away from it. I think a lot of times when something's weird, out of place, mysterious, confusing, unusual, we look at it and we go, "I'm not used to that." Right? And we walk away. In the word strange, it's interesting, the word stranger is based in this word, and it's the same thing, stranger danger. You know, like, if somebody isn't me, isn't like me, doesn't look like me, doesn't talk like me, we walk around and turn away. And yet, here what Moses does, which is so beautiful, it really teaches us faith, is instead of walking away from what is strange, he wants to go see what is strange. And this is the point we've got to hear. God is in the strange. That may make you a little uncomfortable. But this isn't the only time God is mysterious and weird. Amen? I mean, just think about it. I mean, Moses has grown up in the greatest city that had temples and had priests, and there were all kinds of places that would be more expected, right? I mean, think about it. His father-in-law is a priest, for crying out loud. I mean, if God's going to show up, you would think maybe God would show up through the priest.
God didn't show up at the church. God didn't show up through the preacher. God shows up in a burning bush. It's just strange. We've got to be okay with strange if we're going to grow in God. I would even say we've got to look for God in the strange. Let me just push it, friends. God often does not call us out of comfort. God does not often call us out of what is familiar. God does not often call us in the places we're looking for God to call us. God is often calling us in the things that we would just say, "What? I would never think you'd have been there, Lord." I'm learning this so much in my life right now. I've realized that so often I just, I expect God to speak to me when I want to hear God. As if God wasn't trying to speak to me in all the times I really don't care. I mean, anybody else, you're like, you pray and you're like, "Okay, God, I'm ready. God, just speak to me. Tell me what it is. Now I'm ready to hear it. Write it on the wall for me. Speak it in my ears, whatever. Just put it in my brain." And God's like, I wonder if God's just like, "I was speaking to you right before you started praying over here in this strange thing, and you weren't looking for me at all. And it's still there." Could that be possible? I love that Moses checks it out. I'm just going to push it in even more. It could be that God calls us in suffering. God calls us in hardship. God calls us in mystery. God calls us in confusion. God calls us when we're perplexed. God calls us in conflict. This is good news, not bad news. This means that God is present in the places where we feel God forsaken. God is present in the burning bush. God is in the strange. And then, what may be most important for you today, as you hear all these things about who God is what Moses does next. He says three words to God that change his life forever. "Here I am." I was just setting up an appointment with some friends in the church, and I had to go 2 weeks ahead. When am I available? So busy. Let me find a time when I can be... I can hardly say, "Here I am." I find myself sometimes not being able to say, "Here I am," because of what I might have to do. Anybody else do that sometimes? "Well, I can't. I may get a call." You're not going to get that call. You know what I'm talking about? That time where you're like, "Well, there's a 1% chance. There may be something I think is really important might happen, but so I can't do the thing that God, you might be calling me to do." Friends, we're in a culture where being maxed out is really cool. It's really cool to say, "Oh, I'm so busy. I'm just so busy. I just couldn't do that. I can't. I'm sorry, I'm between work and my family. Can't happen. It's just not going to happen. I'm too busy. Too much going on." Friends, I mean, thanks be to God that Moses, and I mean, it might seem comical to you that Moses wouldn't say, "Here I am." And yet I think what really happens for you and for me many times is we say, "I'd like to be there, but I just can't. I'm maxed out. My schedule is full. My energy's spent. My money, I've already got it all allocated." You know what I'm saying? Can we say, "Here I am"? We're talking about Almighty God. Amen. Are we in a place where we can say, "Here I am, God, all of me, I am available to you"? Can we say that? I want to be able to say, "Here I am," and trust that God's going to take care of my schedule, or take care of my family, or take care of things. And God doesn't call Moses or call you or call me without forgetting about what's important. And yet God, when God calls us, things change. And I think we know that, and I think that's sometimes why we don't say yes to God. Are you maxed out? Do you have all your life already planned and figured out so that if the burning bush came, you know, we ask for a burning bush, but the truth is if the burning bush came, most of us would just say, "Oh, that's interesting. I'm busy. Lord, have mercy." Moses says, "Here I am."
He's available to God. God is looking not for people who are maxed out. God is looking for people who are available. Friends, God's mission has been the same, I think, from the beginning. God says it so beautifully. God says, I have heard the cries of my people, and I want to do something about it. I want to save them from slavery, and I want to take them to the promised land. What God is saying is, I hear that my people need salvation. I want to take them from what diminishes life, and I want to bring them to abundant life. That's still God. That's still God's mission. And here's what's just mind-boggling. God says to you, to me, to Moses, God says, I am sending you. Go. I am sending you. Our God has chosen to work out the mission of God in people like Moses and people like you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Jennifer Welker is with us this morning to share a little bit about some burning bush experiences she's had in her life and how God is calling her and using her. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Many of you know parts of the story that I'm going to talk about. Some of you don't know any of it, so just bear with me. I have a few burning bush moments that were kind of unexpected in our life over the last couple of years. In November of 2014, I was diagnosed with stage 2 colorectal cancer. It was unexpected for us, but the prognosis was good. I did radiation, surgery, chemotherapy, and I thought, okay, I'm done with that. Now what? There's got to be a purpose in this. Okay, I'm going to find my purpose. I'm going to do something great. And 6 months later, I was re-diagnosed with stage 4 colorectal cancer in the lung and the liver. But it was curable. We could do surgeries, take care of that, no issues. So I was, volunteering, going to do all the great things that I thought I needed to do and what I was called for. And less than 3 months later, we got a huge gut punch earlier this year where I was re-diagnosed with stage 4 metastatic colorectal cancer. In the lung, the liver, and the peritoneum. This time we were told it wasn't curable. There was no surgeries that could help me. The prognosis wasn't great, and we were pretty devastated for a little while. And so the prognosis for me is ongoing chemotherapy for eternity, according to the doctor, which we're doing, and it's working, and things are going really well, but it was incredibly devastating, and there was a dark couple of weeks where I thought, okay, what now? What am I supposed to be doing with this? What am I learning from this? But we've always had hope and faith that something great would come of this. And we've gotten incredible blessings and felt God's presence even in the bad times, even in the times when we should be devastated. There's still been good and joy and blessings and what I feel is God's call for us to be joyful and to share my story and to share my blessings. And it's really changed how we approach every day. Every day I look at how can we do something better? How can this be better for us or for someone else? And how I've responded with God's call and to say, here I am. We've been involved in the New Wineskin Initiative, which when we started with that, we thought things were pretty good and I was pretty healthy, but even through all that and through my ups and downs in my health, that's been a huge blessing to us. And as a result, we're starting our own neighborhood group to share God's love and the blessings that we've received with our neighbors, with other friends. I've volunteered when I can, a lot less of that here lately, but I'm still searching for what this new diagnosis means for my call. I believe that I need to find joy in every day, even in the good and the bad days. And there are a lot of bad days, but there are a lot of good days. And we really try to, you know, live to the fullest on the days that we can. And maybe that's part of my call, is to show that you can do that. And I know that I don't give up. God's blessing us in many, many ways. And it's my job to share that story, to share it with anyone who will listen, because I do think there are miracles in the making, and I do think that that's part of the call that God has for us.
Amen.
Amen.
When she shares her story, it's so sad. And it seems just like you want to go up and go, "I'm so sorry, Jennifer, that all this is happening to you." And Jennifer and Andy are some of my best friends, and they are so great to be around. Life is so rich and full and good. And so, as you know, in a couple minutes, she tells this pretty difficult story. But man, she just was telling me the way that they felt in March, that dark period of just, oh my God, what's going to happen? That seems like that wasn't even them. She was just telling me that it feels like a different life now, because now every day is a new day and a new possibility, and God is working, and life is a blessing, and there's friendship and joy and laughter and service. And yeah, there's hard days, but life is good. And so I want you to know that. I want you to celebrate with her. So as we come to a time of Holy Communion, this is our prayer focus. If you would pray this prayer with me, and then we will have a silent time of prayer before Holy Communion. Join me. God of Moses, give me the grace to say, "Here I am," when you call on my name. Lord, as we come to this Holy Communion, we are reminded that you know us as we are. And yet, you invite us to be a part of your kingdom, your purpose. You invite us to be a part of something eternal, something beautiful, something everlasting. Thank you, God. Lord, forgive us when we think too little of you and think too little of our own lives. I thank you for Jennifer's story that reminds us that every day, every week, every month is such a gift, and that we can live it fully with joy because you are with us. You have called us. Thank you for this table of Holy Communion, where we are able to come by your invitation and be filled and fed, healed and forgiven, renewed and sent out again. In Jesus' name, amen.